anybody who's been in group practice or practice for any number of years or any business, you know, I don't care if you own a shoe store, you can't grow if you're not protecting your mental health and your rest. You know, you really got to protect that space. Hi, I'm Dr. Kate Walker. I'm a marriage and family therapist, practice owner, and professor of counselor education who took a passion for training the next generation of mental health providers and turned it into a multi six-figure business that designs the courses that teach mental health providers how to be clinical supervisors. Teaching graduate students and seasoned counselors, I learned about the fears. Fears about failing, quitting toxic work environments where you're seeing 80 clients a week, fears about starting a private practice, running out of money, getting in trouble by the licensing board, the IRS, you name it. I created the Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses community so mental health providers like you could have a step-by-step guide and learn actionable steps to achieve the security, freedom, and satisfaction of a counseling career you'll love. Look, you had the dream to become a mental health professional. You got the degree, you took the exams, you put in the time, whatever your business is, a private practice, maybe you want to sell courses like I do, you're adding clinical supervision, you want to write a book or get paid to speak, whatever it is, you are too important to your community to lose to getting in trouble, giving up, going broke, and burning out. Are you ready to break through those fears once and for all? I thought so. Let's get to work.
Welcome to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, where it's all about working smarter, not harder. And here's your host, Dr. Kate Walker.
Who has to share a birthday with the world's most famous holiday?
You know what we practice owners and business owners forget to do? Yeah, we forget to rest. And yeah, that maybe sounds like pedicures and bubble baths, but if you're a mental health professional, you know I'm not talking about bubble baths. Self-care is an ethical obligation. And my expert guest today, LaShasta Bell, is not just a practice owner. Her practice, I Choose Me in League City, Texas, is a group practice that employs lots of therapists and helps tons of families. She also consults and speaks on this very topic of rest and sleep and getting enough rest so that you are your very best. I love talking to LaShasta, and I know you're going to enjoy this expert interview as she helps us understand the importance of getting rest as a business owner and as a practicing professional. Step It Up members, you can grab this video in your profile, in your Kate Walker training profile. And if you're not a Step It Up member, don't forget all summer long, we're offering a promotion and you can hear more about that about halfway through this episode. All right, let's get to work.
Many years ago, I went to Belize, and when I went, I did a Gryffindor tour, and the gentleman that took us on the tour talked about being in harmony with the earth and the water, even to the point that when they would build buildings and houses, they would not cut the wood and the bamboo or whatever it was, unless it was under a certain type of moon, just because they believe everything worked and created harmony. And for me, it really resonated in how I live my life, how I run my business. So instead of using the word balance, because I truly think that balance is a unicorn, I like to use the word harmony. Because sometimes, guess what? I need 80% work and 20% fun. And sometimes I need 80% fun and 20% work. And so harmony is one of the things that I prefer to use instead of balance. All right. So the objective today, I have four objectives. I'm going to do my very best to get through all four of them. And that is helping you guys understand the difference between rest and sleep, understanding the impact of sleep on your mental health and your physical health. And of course, I know we're all clinicians. Most of us are clinicians. We'll say, oh, LaShasta, we know knowing and doing and being and feeling and living it is completely two different things. Because how many of us will tell our clients all the things and we are not doing most of the things? Been there, done that. So we're going to do a brain dump before we jump all the way in. Some of you may know what a brain dump is. Some of you may call brain dump something different. This is my definition of brain dump. If yours differ, congratulations, we are different. So I want you to take a few minutes. You could use a notepad of your phone. You can grab a pencil and paper, whatever you need to dump your brain. You are going to write out all the things that's on your mind that comes to mind. It could be like, what's for dinner? Or what's that smell? Did my kid take the trash out this morning? Did the trash run? Did I go to the mailbox? Did I lock the door? Whatever is on your mind, I want you to dump it. Once you finish, I want you to look at that list and decide what's in your control and what's out of your control. You can rewrite the list if you want to, if you A type, or if you another type. You can just put I for in your control, O for out of your control. Anytime I speak, I do this. Anytime I teach, anytime I train, I don't care if I'm at the church, at a retreat, working for the global tech company, whatever it is, because I wholeheartedly believe that if we are intentional about clearing our mind, we can come with the expectancy and then we leave with something rather than leaving with the same things that were on our mind and not really hearing the information. So timer for 3 minutes. I'll give you a 1 minute warning. Go for it. Dump your brain.
Feel free to pause while you carry out the brain dump activity.
Okay, so now that you have dumped your brain, you've determined what's in your control, what's out of your control. For those of us who may have had more things out of our control, I want you to think about how you can emotionally respond to those things. They're not in your control, but you get to choose how much energy, how much time you give it. The things that's in your control, they can become your to-do list. It could be to do for this quarter, next year, this week, whatever it is. When we find things to do with what's on our mind and we create a plan and we strategize, it helps us to feel better. So not right now. Don't start strategizing now. Listen to me. But that's just for later. That's the addition to the brain dump that I personally like to do, is to take action with the things that I dumped from my brain, because otherwise, guess what? They're going to find their way back in. All right. So here's the definition of sleep. I am totally not going to read these definitions to you. I'm going to simply highlight the differences between the two. So this is according to the APA Dictionary of Psychology. This is sleep. And here it is in simpler terms. There's brain function going on. It's complex, it's biological, it helps you process information, and it can also help you feel rested. So sleep and rest are not the same thing. However, sleep can be a form of rest. And I can tell you one of my little pet peeves, and I guess I should have known all along I would eventually be a sleep coach, a rest coach, or whatever, because when I would hear people use the word rest like sleep and sleep like rest, I'm like, it's not the same. You know, sometimes I would tell them and sometimes I would just rock like this and be like, oh my goodness, they're messing it up. They're messing it up. So rest is to cease movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, and recover your strength. So I want everyone to say rest is productive. I don't care about the background. I want to hear everyone
rest
say
is productive.
Rest, yes, is productive.
Rest is productive.
Rest is productive.
Rest is productive.
Rest, yes, is productive.
Yes. Now, do it one more time. I need you to say it from your chest. Say it like you mean it. Say it
rest
like
is productive.
Rest is productive.
Yes. Yes. I love it. See, I love the fact that when I can say it with your chest, I can hear your voices. Even if I can't connect every voice, I could hear the voice the first time and say, rest is productive. And then the second time, it's like, rest is productive. That's the difference. That is the difference. So understanding this as business owners, as future business owners, that the work we do is amazing and it's productive, but rest is productive. So this is what science and physics says. Here's the two things, the breakdown. Sleep, we're in motion. It's lots of growth and activity. Rest is about recovery. And recovery can happen in many different ways. I want to challenge you to start thinking right now, how do you rest, if you even rest? And if you don't rest, how can you start to define rest for yourself so that you can rest? Because here's the thing, we all have different definitions. I can't define it for you, but I can support you in defining it for yourself. Because however you define it for yourself, you're going to believe it, you're going to incorporate it, you're going to do it, and then you can wash, rinse, repeat. So when you see this beautiful slide, isn't it just so pretty and relaxing? And it says, let's rest in this. That means you take a nice deep breath in and you hold it. And when you release, I want you to allow your vocal cords to make whatever noise feels most genuine to you. It could be a, it could be a, ooh, it could be whatever you like. And if I say something that kind of gets to you, it might be like, ooh, when you breathe out. So anytime you see this slide, that's what we're doing. We're taking a breath so you can rest in the information. Now, sleep deprivation. According to the CDC, a good amount of Americans are experiencing sleep deprivation. How about it was considered a national health problem before COVID even existed? Here are some things that happens when we are sleep deprived. How many of us repeatedly hit the snooze button? Did you know that that was a sign of sleep deprivation? Some of us feel like that's part of our morning routine. Oh, you know, I wake up when it first goes off and then I hit the snooze three times, then I get out of bed. And it's said in such a glorified way as if it's promoting sleep, as if it's promoting rest and peace. So if you're repeatedly hitting the snooze button, what I would suggest is if you're hitting the snooze, let's say three times, 5 minutes each, just try backing your bedtime up by that 15 minutes. I can tell you my circadian rhythm is beautiful. Between 7:15 and 7:30, I'm going to be awake. Whether it's my night for the baby, whether it's my night to sleep in, whatever it is, and my body temperature rise, and you know, we all get that sensation of, ooh, it kind of get hot in the morning all of a sudden. That's your body saying, go ahead and get up, sis. Go ahead and get up, bro. It's time. Not roll over and hit the snooze, but go ahead and get up. And so no matter where I am, there's no sleep in, simply because I know that I function better when I go to bed around the same time and I wake up around the same time. And most humans do. Part-time focusing and remembering. We don't all have ADHD. I'm going to just leave that right there. That's all I got. So here it is. Here's some of the numbers. Here's some big scary facts. They're big and scary because no one's death certificate says the cause of death is insufficient sleep. It just doesn't. But there are 7 of 15 leading causes of death that is connected to insufficient sleep or sleep deprivation. Us ladies, look at that. That's 25.4%. And basically, most of us are probably in Texas. So I think in the state of Texas, life expectancy for men is like 70-something. For women, it's about 80. So when we look at these numbers of the percentage of the increased mortality rate, if we're not sleeping, we're given 6 to 7 years back. It's like, oh, here, I know you say I'm going to live to like 82, but go ahead and take these 7 years back because I want to binge watch Queen Charlotte tonight. I mean, this is just the information. I'm not making it up. I may be making it funny or trying to make light. But in the realest of the real, that's really what we're doing. When we decide we want to stay up and binge watch, or I got to just do one more contract, or let me figure out this simple practice, or let me record this content, or even when we say I do my best work late at night, we are cutting our life down by 6 or 7 years. And of course, we don't get to choose the 6 or 7 years. Like, go ahead and wipe out 15 to 22. You can have those years back, right? It's the years that we are often looking forward to. It's the years that some will call the golden years. It's the time when we should be in retirement and chasing grandkids and on the beach and playing golf and traveling the world. But instead, during the other part of our life, we decided we needed to grind till we die. And literally, this is what happens. This is what happens. Any questions at this point?
I'm flabbergasted by the less than 6 hours a night stat here. That is just, my gosh, because that's almost like a badge of honor. You know, I only need 5 hours a night, or I only sleep 6 hours a night, right? I mean, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Because most people would think 4 or 5 hours. No, like even when you're in that 6 to 7 hour range, you are still messing with your life expectancy. I'm going to tell you guys this. I can tell you the last 5, 6 years where I sleep the best, what country, what temperature, what season. I've been tracking my sleep for years. Even before I knew that I would be the professional sleep strategist and a sleep coach, it was valuable to me. when the pandemic happened, about 3-4 months in, I used to be a solid 7 hours. I get 7 hours and let's go. About 3 or 4 months in, I started needing 8.5 to 9 hours before I could wake up feeling rested. And this makes sense. It's right in line with the research. We know what the brain does. We know the emotions that's being processed of the day and the learning of the day. So if we're in a pandemic that we didn't know we were going to be in, didn't see it coming, we're working with clients. I was working with various educators. Everybody was touched in some capacity by the pandemic. I needed more sleep. So what did I do? I adjusted my schedule because I'm the boss, right? We probably all need to say that together, because if you're not the boss and you plan to be the boss, go ahead and start claiming being the boss. I'm going to show you and make sure you know how to be a true boss, because a true boss will go to sleep. And that's what I did. I adjusted my schedule. I can't see anybody before 10 a.m. and I allowed myself to sleep. However, the problem that we often run into, we have been groomed and we've grown up in a society of waiting for others to give us permission. As kids, parents had to give us permission. Teachers had to give us permission. We go off to college and it was the professors and the RAs and the boss. So when we become the boss, a true boss, we have to learn how to give ourselves permission. So I gave myself permission to change my schedule and to believe that whoever wanted to see me, they would see me in the hours that I was available, just like they do the doctor's office and the dentist and so forth and so on. And guess what? They did. So yes, Jennifer, sleep debt is real. And now let's take a moment and take a deep breath, because some of us just realized we are giving some years back. So here are some challenges with rest. A lot of us don't know how. If we be honest, some of us were raised in a culture and a family that didn't believe in rest, that didn't believe in relaxing. Rest was equated to being lazy. If you were seen looking like you were not busy, then you were given a list of things to become busy. And that we've carried into every part of our life, including business. Some of us feel guilty from resting. Understand, guilt is a learned behavior. So you had to learn how to feel guilty. Belief that rest has to be earned. That was me. My main two was not knowing how, and then believing that rest had to be earned. So that would sound like, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and then, or I can't rest until I get this, this, and this done. Does any of these resonate? All of them. I like to say all of them, A-L-L-U-M. Sometimes that's, you just have to emphasize. Now, energy drainers. Sometimes for us in our field, we don't recognize energy drainers as easily in our personal life because of the work that we show up and do with clients. And so really checking in with yourself. And if you pick up your phone and you go, oh, and you put it back down, that person is an energy drainer. And you may have to schedule time in which you have conversations with them, in which you engage with them, and that's okay. Or you may have to decide to no longer engage with them because that interferes with your rest. Some people, it's like a 2-text exchange limit a day. Like, oh, hello, how you doing? That's great. And then that's it. Like, that's all I have for today. Because I feel like if we get to that 3rd text exchange, then there may be all of this blah, 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 that I don't want to know, that I don't want to read. And once we hear it, see it, we can't unhear it, we can't unsee it. Sleep and anxiety. We know some of these things. However, once again, how often do we really adhere to what we know? When we are anxious, it's hard to sleep. When we are worried, it's hard to sleep. When we are stressed, we're releasing all of this cortisol that makes it hard to sleep. Performance anxiety. I know my people, and I know oftentimes we become overly anxious about performing tasks. Sometimes it's around the work we do with clients. Sometimes it's the work we do to build our practice, to create the practice, because sometimes we'll say, well, I didn't go to school for this, or there's no business classes in the counseling degree. I literally was talking to a colleague the other day about a group practice and asked, like, what's the hesitation? Well, what if I fail? Like, it's one thing to fail and it's just me, but what if I fail and it's others? And my response was, what if you don't? Like, literally, what happens if you don't? And if we know ourselves, because this person was able to pinpoint the exact concerns, my thing was put systems in place, put people around you to support the area in which you feel that you may struggle. So as you're thinking about building your group practice, as you are expanding, if you know you struggle with ABC, then hire support that is amazingly great at ABC. That's what I did. Here's some ways that performance anxiety shows up. These are physical in our minds. Part of the way it shows up is not completing the task or avoiding the task. I can tell you, I became a serious task avoider. I was so good at it that it didn't even feel like I was avoiding the task because I would do like this whole list of other stuff. And it's like, I did all of this. I feel accomplished. Meanwhile, the thing that I needed to do, the thing that I wrote down that I said I would do, would go undone. It was because I was anxious and had performance anxiety of feeling like I would fail at doing so. Any questions about performance anxiety? Anyone experiencing what they may feel like is performance anxiety and would like some insight on it?
I have a question.
Do this, go for it.
I want you to go, if you would, go back to the energy drainers, and you mentioned scheduling too, because as people grow a group practice, they can't just live the way they've always lived, right? I mean, and text the same people they've always texted or hang out with the same people they always hang out with, right? And you mentioned something I thought was really key, you know, scheduling your clients when you want to see them, when you're able to see them. I mean, new group practice owners, I think probably, or even solo practice owners probably have trouble with that. Membership, membership. Why would anyone want to join a membership? Because you're sick and tired of trying to find great information that will help you start your career, grow a practice, stay out of trouble, and oh, by the way, not be boring and outdated. You already know I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand that people actually want to finish. But why should you have to pay for every single resource I offer? Let me introduce the Step It Up membership. Step It Up members have access to over 50 trainings on everything from preparing your accounts for tax season to using SEO to improve your Google rankings, writing a book, staying HIPAA compliant, to learning how to create a press kit if you want to start public speaking. You also get access to over 25 courses that you can use as continuing education and that meet the new Texas 50% from an approved provider rule. Are you a supervisor looking for a consultation group? Step It Up members get free tickets to the Texas Supervisor Coalition monthly live consultation group featuring great speakers and incredible up-to-the-minute information to keep your license safe. Feel overwhelmed by lots of choices and want an interactive training with a real live person? I've got you covered. Step It Up members get weekly live training with me every single week. And did I mention that Step It Uppers get a coupon for $100 off the 40-hour training to become an LPC or LMFT supervisor in Texas? Yeah, you get that too. You're the one working your butt off, sweating through the summer, corralling kids, and facing slumps in your client load. I want to help. All summer long, I'm offering a 50% discount on the annual and monthly plan for the Step It Up membership. No contracts, and if you don't like it, quit anytime you like, but you're gonna love it. You are too important to lose because you pay too much for online courses, you sat through expensive, boring live trainings, and you got suckered into long-term commitments with memberships that just didn't deliver. It's time to take the next step in your counseling career. And it's super easy to do. Just go to katewalkertraining.com/podcast. That's katewalkertraining.com/podcast. But you gotta act fast. This is going away as soon as the summer ends. So get the discount, get the resources, and take your practice to the next level. I'll see you on the inside.
Okay, so with the scheduling, even when I was part-time and solo, I knew I didn't want to see anybody Friday after 2. I would tell my clients, you don't want me to be your therapist. I'm nobody's therapist Friday after 2. I might need a therapist Friday after 2. And I would just tell them just like that, because before I'm anything else, I'm LaShasta and I'm human, and that's what I'm going to be. That's how I came in this world. That's how I'm going to leave this world. Know yourself. Like, be intentional about getting to know who you are as a person, so that you can apply that in business. I can't tell you the last time I saw a client on Friday. Well, probably like 2012. Never. It started out before after two, and then it gradually just progressed to that Fridays were gone. And I should have led with the disclaimer. I don't just own a group practice. I own a multiple six-figure group practice because people like to have receipts. So when I say what I say and it works, and I tell you it works, it doesn't just work for my mental health. It doesn't just work for my physical health. It also works for my financial health. So the energy drainer piece. Like Kate said, when you start moving into a certain space, you have to have what I like to call my security team. My security team is in place to know me and support me, even when in moments I may not be able to fully support myself. For instance, I was caught up and my family was caught up in that whole Southwest debacle in December. We said we were going to take a quick little trip, use our Southwest points, go to Florida for Christmas. Mind you, my baby was born August 30th. So he wasn't, 3-4 months old? And then it was time to leave and our flight was canceled. And then we drove to the next city over to catch a flight and the flight was canceled. Long story short, we were in a minivan that took 17 hours to get back to Texas with a brand new baby. And I was on my phone every city trying to find a flight. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't drive 17 hours. I just can't. And my security team was saying, just breathe. It's great that you could pivot. Some people are stuck in the airport. They can't pivot. You have the resources to pivot. You are on your way home. That was the security team. The people that are in that circle are not people that I've known for 20 years. Some of them, but not all of them. They have been individuals that I've been intentional about cultivating relationships with. At this point, most of my friends own a private practice or own a business simply because they're like-minded people. And it was hard for me to learn how to release some of the other people out of my life to make room for them. And let me tell you, I'm a guy girl. So some of this work, God did it. Some people I probably would have held on and drugged to the grave and let them drag me to the grave. And he had to say, no, that's it. It's no longer of value to say, oh, I've been knowing this person 25 years. We've been friends because that person was not serving me in the space that I was in and was actually causing me to get to the next space a little bit slower than I would have. When I changed and decided to develop a security team and be intentional, that's when my private practice hit multiple six figures. That was one of the things that I did, being intentional about the people that I put around me, which meant releasing the energy drainers.
That's why I'm so glad, because your schedule and the fact that you went first in this group practice summit, this is the foundation. I mean, anybody who's been in group practice or practice for any number of years or any business, you know, I don't care if you own a shoe store, you can't grow if you're not protecting your mental health and your rest and the people who maybe, I don't know, they're a little chaotic, you know, you really got to protect that space.
You do. You have to protect it. And if you see my shirt, it's not worth my piece. This is a brand shirt. I don't just own one company. I own two companies and I'm one of three in a third company. So yeah, that's it. It's not worth my piece. So questions about who makes up the security team. You get to decide who makes up the security team. Everybody's security team is different. For me, my security team consists of my husband because, yes, he is my life partner. He understands me sometimes better than I understand myself. While he may not own a private practice, he very much is business-minded. Sometimes I can bounce things out for him to get a different perspective. And he also knows what I need. My pregnancy was beautiful, went through delivery. It wasn't all that great, had to be readmitted. I'm in the bed, like, oh my God, postpartum depression is knocking on my door. He walks in and says, put your earbuds in, listen to your soothing music. Where are your essential oils? Where is your eye mask? He knew all of the things that I needed to get to my place of rest, to get to my place of peace. My son is now 18 years old. He's on my security team because he understands my petty. Both of us live on Petty Street sometimes, and we can go back and forth, and he makes me laugh, and it's enjoyable. Yes, yes, Kimberly, I saw that laugh. Yes. Like I told you guys, I'm going to be me before I'm anybody else. And yes, I can be a little petty. And he also understands ethos. And we can sit in that place and talk and mental health and emotional intelligence. And he knows how to say, you know what, Ma, it's not worth your energy. So he reminds me. I have a few other friends that are on my security team. Absolutely. I love that. Have my daughter on my team. Yes. one of my persons on my team, she dreams really big, really big. She helped me to make the decision of going from being in an office building, having a suite, to being the office building. And it sounded like, why do you think you can't afford that? It's only $900 difference a month. And you charging clients $150 a session. What's that, three extra sessions a month? So you telling me that you can't afford to have three extra sessions in a month? You telling me that there's people out there that don't want to see you? Didn't you say you had a waiting list? Or wait, didn't you say you're not seeing clients, but people keep calling you? That's how it sounded. And I was like, okay, I've been checked. Let me go sign this contract. Mind you, we moved in the week of the pandemic, that weekend. So I moved into this office space, doubled my rent, and then the pandemic happened. For 2-3 years, no one even sat in my beautiful waiting room. But guess what? My practice still profits. Even with doubling my rent, even with having a space that people couldn't even come to and see yet after having it beautifully decorated, what did I do? I decided to pivot. I did a talk show. Am I crazy? You can find it on my YouTube channel. It's just everyday people talking about their mental health in different aspects, from judges to my son. He's the first episode. My husband to one of the top relationship therapists in the country. But that's what I did. So that's how my waiting room was utilized. I decided to do a talk show and didn't miss a beat. So advice on how to build a security team. And this is going to be the last thing I said about the security team so I can get to the rest part. If you want to know more and talk about building a security team, you'll have a way to contact me at the end. I did not start out building my security team intentionally. My life fell apart. And as I decided to start putting it back together, some pieces just didn't fit where I was going. And so I said, you know what, God, life has fallen apart. I'm going to let you pick up the pieces and do what you may. Whomever you bring into my space, I'm going to be open to receive what they have for me. And that's how it started. And once it started, I'm like, oh, wait. Because I'm going to tell you guys, I turned 43 last week. And I used to say, I want no young friends or no new friends. You know, that little song, no new friends. That was me. I wore that with a badge of honor. 2018, 2019, around the woods. Now, a good amount of my friends are younger than me. What I've found is that their generation has this robust way of, if I want it, I'm going to figure out how to get it. And I had a little bit of that energy. But when I was with my older friends who were like, well, let's just stay here for 20 years and retire and with a smile. No shade or shade, maybe. I don't know. But this is my life experience. It was a little shade, Kate. It was a little bit. But you know, you don't fit in there. But this is my own life experience. These are the type of friends that I had. And so when I did something a little bit great, they was like, oh, you're killing it. Duh, 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 duh. But it wasn't to the potential of my greatness. I can tell you back in 2018, 2019, I would have never pitched myself to a global tech company in 65 different countries. I would have been like, I can't do that, because the people that were in my security team and in my circle thought it was cool just to be able to train the local chamber of commerce. And don't get me wrong, it was cool, but it was not my full potential. Yeah, I'm not a stay in the one place and retire either. So they're all the same. Right. 11 years in private practice is the longest I've been anywhere working for myself. Any other job, I think I maxed out like at year 4 or 5. It was just like, oh, gotta go. I love y'all. So that's how it came about with my security team. And they still hold me down to this day. Just yesterday, my husband and I went to go see a in-home daycare to start transitioning the baby to a small group, you know, of kids so he could be socialized and parallel play, blah, 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 blah. And one of the people that I just came back from a retreat with that's on my security team, I was telling her about it. And I was like, well, you know, he'll be number 8. And she hit me with, I'm going to want her to have more personnel if she's going to add another child. And I was like, oh, you're right. Because better be 8-1. So that's how your security team shows up. And then today she was going on and on about something and her skin being dry and need new product. And I was sending her what I had. And she was like, oh, I have that one. I said, okay, sis, how about you use what you have first before you buy something else? You could totally spend that money on something else. Like, I'm a recovering shopaholic, so it's rarely am I going to tell you not to spend. I'm just going to say, don't spend on what you already got. That's it. So that's how we help and support one another. Oh, the energy drainers. Ooh, okay, this is tough because a lot of times the energy drainers are in our family. I know that's uncomfortable, but you might just want to take a breath. Sometimes it is the very people that brought you into this world, and you can thank them and you can be grateful, but you don't have to allow them to continue to access you and drain your energy. It can look different. And my mom gives me permission to share. But it was a time before I was in private practice when I worked in the elementary school that I had to go to a place of text only with my mom because she drained so much of my energy. I was at work one day. She called me and she told me about who went to jail and who had died. And when I got off the phone, I felt exhausted. I felt sad. I'm a school counselor, elementary school. Kindergartners look to Miss Bell to smile and play and dance and sing. And I just wanted to go home. And I had tried to set boundaries before. And I had said about, you know, I don't want to know about other people's business. If they wanted me to know, they'll call and tell me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, I worked with my therapist. This is not an overnight process, you guys. This is not. I worked with my therapist until I was able to say, Mom, it's just going to be text only for a couple of months. When we talk, you share things that I've asked you not to share with me. It weighs heavy. I don't want to hear it, but you say it anyway. So I can't control what comes out your mouth, but I can control how I access it. It's many years later, my mom still tells this story, and she says, I never want to be in a place where I can't talk to my daughter. So if she says she doesn't want to hear X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to say X, Y, and Z. If I can set boundaries with my mama, if you can set boundaries with your mama, you can set boundaries with anybody, because boundaries will get you the rest that you need. I have a thing called boundaries will get you rest too. That's the whole thing. So here's the sleep and anxiety. Let's get back to where we were. So screens and digital devices, we love them. They do great work for us. They help us to be amazing business owners. However, if we don't choose to control the usage, then it also will prevent us from getting the rest and sleep that we need. My husband sent me to a spa, which is also like a wellness retreat that's digitally mindful, the last 2 days. And my phone had a sleeping bag, and you put your phone in the sleeping bag. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. I had my watch on Do Not Disturb. I had my phone on Do Not Disturb and like the serious Do Not Disturb. So I have different levels of Do Not Disturb on my phone. And one is called London. And that's my baby sign name. That means it's just time with London. No one else can get through but my husband and my son. And that's what I had it on. So anybody else, I tell them if it's an emergency, you need to call 911. Because I am not in a place to support anybody's emergency. I am resting. I am renewing myself. I'm restoring my strength so that I can continue to do the work that I do and celebrate when I hit my goals instead of wanting to go take a nap because I'm so exhausted. So 2 hours, at least 2 hours plus, it impacts and affects your melatonin when you have the devices. I know some people say 2 hours is better. You know, the screen has you thinking like messing with your circadian rhythm of what time it's time to go to sleep, what time it is to wake up, the whole blue light. We got that from being virtual as clinicians and putting the glasses on and all of that. Well, the blue light will delay your transition to sleep. If you're a person that says, I got to go to sleep with the TV on, I need to sleep the TV to sleep. Try listening to an audiobook. Put the screen down. If you have a TV in your room, throw it away. I'm joking. I have a TV in my room. My husband won't let me throw it away. But ideally, if you take the TV out the room, it will help you to sleep better at night. So sleep care is self-care. Let's get to the rest piece. So rest is producing. Productivity isn't just about getting results. It's about getting the best results that you can. And it's impossible to perform your best when you're not well rested. Most of the great minds and philosophers and scientists, they discovered what they discovered in a time of rest. They were walking in nature with a notepad, or they might have been in the shower. Some of my best thinking happens when I am not in a work state, but when I am in a rest state. Sometimes it comes to me in the early morning, right before I wake up, right after a good night's sleep. So resting is productive. Say it with me again. Rest is productive. Say it from your chest. Rest is productive. So here we go. When we are working nonstop, it leads to irritability, it leads to impatience, it leads to a decrease in focus. People oftentimes ask me, like, LaShasta, how do you get so much done when you have so many things? You own companies, you decided to have another baby, you got a kid graduating, you have this, you have that. And I tell them, because I go to bed, I go to sleep. So the things that it's taking other people 2 to 3 hours to do, I can get them done like in 30 minutes because I'm well rested and I'm well slept. So rest is not this optional leftover activity. Rest and work actually go together like partners. The better you are at resting, the better you will be at working. I could not have said it better myself. Understand they go hand in hand. On one side of the coin is work. On the other side of the coin, it should be rest. Now it's a sleep hygiene. It's what you do leading up to going to bed. It could be any series of things. I tell people you should be cultivating your sleep from the moment you wake up. Every decision I make, everything I say, the people I engage with is about cultivating my sleep. Some things I get to the point and go, you know what? It's just not worth my peace. It's not worth my energy. I'm going to let them have it. I'm literally having a situation now. And I'm like, it's just not worth it. It's just not. Some of us have to keep going and going until we feel like we prove ourselves right. It's just not worth my peace. So benefits of sleep and your immune system, it helps prevent weight gain. Yes, it does help prevent weight gain. That's a whole thing. Because when we stay up and we release hormones to say we're hungry, it improves your mood, your memory, prevent disease, increase life, avoid accidents. So the REST is an acronym. Reclaim your time. We've given too much of it away. People don't take our time. We give it. Be gentle with yourself. Turn time into an ally. You have to take it back. You got to take your time back. And I'm going to tell you, as a group practice owner, learning to do that is valuable, especially when you work in the business and own the business. Officially, at the end of April, I no longer work in my business. I only work on my business. I retired my therapeutic hat to put on another hat, but nonetheless, I retired it. Rest, exercise. We all know the value of exercise. It can be anything you want it to be. Just get up and get moving. Sleep. We've been talking about sleep the whole time. Part of the way you get to sleep is by setting boundaries. I sent my staff an email and said, do not email me before 9:30. Do not email me after 5:30. I may email you before 9:30, but you cannot email me before 9:30. I'm just not ready yet. Am I up? Yes. Because like I told you guys, I'm up between 7:15 and 7:30. And sometimes London decides to get up at 6:15. But I'm not ready to be your boss until after 9:30. And then the T is tranquility. We've been talking about it the whole time, protecting your peace, understanding like the relationships and the source of energy, what gives you energy, what drains your energy, what's an even energy exchange. And that's and the rest.
LaShasta, this is wonderful. I'm breathing with you, right now.
There we go. So this is another thing on productivity. Thank you. And I thank you guys for listening. Those who are working towards being in a group practice or creating a group practice, I'm cheering you on. We need you. The world needs you. Those who are thinking about it, let's stop thinking and start doing. And that's it.
Amen.
I appreciate y'all.
And LaShasta, you're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish we were in person. I miss you.
I know. We're going to bring this face to face.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. That sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a big idea. All right. Hey, badasses, we can all agree that counselors want a path to a successful counseling career, but that means you have to find quality training. That's not even the real barrier. The real problem is a lot of information can be overwhelming, and you, my badass, are busy. So you're probably asking yourself, how can I improve my practice while still caring for people? How do I grow my skill set, become a supervisor, without losing my work-life balance? How do I find quality training that won't cost too much time and money? Bottom line, counselors who want a successful counseling career value the goal of growing their skill set and even becoming a supervisor, but at the same time struggle with finding time to attend quality courses. Counselors can't overcome this barrier because so many times courses with tempting titles overpromise and underperform. Let me ask you something. What if there were courses that delivered exactly what they promised, that didn't take a lot of time, and didn't break the bank? That's exactly the kind of course we design at Kate Walker Training. I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand. And we have so many to choose from. If you're asking yourself, where do I go if I want to sustain my practice and grow my marketing presence? Well, check out the Step It Up membership. What do you do if you're ready to pay it forward and add streams of income? Well, check out the supervisor training. See if you're eligible. If you're looking for an experience that's more hands-on, keep an eye out for open enrollment for Badass Basics and our exclusive mastermind groups. Dr. Kate Walker, thank you so much for listening to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. Thank you to Ridgely Walker for her lovely voiceovers at our introduction. And do me a favor,
When you get a second, please like, share, and subscribe, and write us a review. That's really how we get picked up by other RSS feeds, and we get this information out to the mental health badasses who need it. Thanks again, and keep saving the world with excellent therapy.